Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun. Welcome, everyone, to episode 45 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
I'm Josh.
And we are here to talk about the latest theme park, pop culture, movie, video game, everything news, as well as what's going on in our lives in general. And as you can see, I have a new host this week. Dave had something come up and couldn't make it, so I have Josh filling in from all the way from our living room.
Yeah, Brittany's just down the hallway.
There. Yeah, that door right there. Yep. So, he graciously agreed to talk theme parks with me, as we always do, just not on camera.
Yep.
So this should be fun. But normally this is the part where I ask what you've been doing this past week, but I know what you've been doing this past week. So yep. If you would, tell the folks at home what you've been doing.
Well, I've been playing a lot of Ghost of Tsushima.
Wearing the merch, I see.
Wearing the shirt. Very excited. Love the game. Shouts out to Sucker Punch. Great, great team. I got a new amp for my guitar. I haven't really played guitar a lot in a long, long time. Pretty excited about that. And I think that's it.
Really. Yeah. Brody's puppy party.
Our fresh pup went to his first puppy party, had his first interaction with dogs ever, and he was very shy.
We watched, because of everything going on, we had to drop him off and come home, and we watched through Zoom. They had cameras set up in the vet office, and it was so sweet. He would just go and like sit next to the girls that were running the party and not really interact with the dogs at all, but not like negatively. He was just chilling, but it was so cute.
Yeah, they said definitely not scared, but no. I'm sure.
Yeah, but I think he did a good job overall.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump right into news in the queue. And this is where I would put in a soundbite. But I tried that and it didn't work. So we're going to have to get a soundboard app or something. So just pretend. All right. First up this week, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge toys and more are landing soon at Target.
Very exciting.
Now, Target will be opening up. It seems like they're going to have kind of a trading outpost set up similar to the Disney store setups that they launched in October of last year, which Josh and I actually got to go report on because there was one near where we live. Yeah. And they're going to have a bunch of stuff that isn't available in the land, like a Lego model of the spacecraft that you take to get to the Star Destroyer on Rise of the Resistance, as well as some toys that you previously couldn't get by themselves. You had to buy a pack of them. This is specifically the DJ Rex Black Series figure. This you could only get if you bought like the three pack of droids. That was like $40, $50?
$60, I believe. Oh. It was a Droid Depot set.
Even worse.
Also think they'll have Hondo on his own. Now, they've only announced a few things in this collection. They said that there'll be clothing and more to come.
Mm-hmm.
But, so far they had the DJ Rex Black Series figure. I think in addition to the $400 Millennium Falcon with Hondo, which is a vintage series size, which is 3 3/4 inch, you'll be able to get the Hondo at that, I think it's 9-inch Black Series scale.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also in a $60 four pack. It's got Chewie, Rey, Hondo, 3PO, maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right, 3PO. We went to the thing and we saw the box. They had these toys on display at Star Wars Celebration Chicago, and it was so tempting because you couldn't just have it. I don't think they had them available for purchase yet, but you could look at it.
Yeah, that was so long before. That was when they revealed that they were doing that.
Yeah, but you can check out this collection for yourself in your local Target when it launches on August 30th, and it will also launch on Target.com. All right, next up, a little quick thing. The procedure has changed for the virtual queue for Star Wars Rise of the Resistance at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Previously, you could join virtual boarding groups at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. when certain sets of spots were released at those three times. But now you can only join at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. only, and those are your only shots to join during the day. Now, before all of this happened and the parks closed, Josh and I actually went to Galaxy's Edge. Yes. And we did the OG boarding group thing.
Yes.
And it was so stressful and scary. So this sounds so much easier to do. And all the vlogs that we watch, I feel like everyone just raves about it and they end up getting to ride it. Whereas before, it was kind of a hit or a miss. You either got to do it or you were unlucky and you didn't.
Yeah, it was really stressful for us having been locals, and nothing was really that big of a deal at all at the parks. Like, okay, well, we live down the road. We'll come back. We don't live down the road anymore. And we had one day one park passes, and we only had one day at Studios. Very stressful.
You can actually listen to, I think it might have been 10 or 20 episodes ago, we actually, Banks recorded us while we were all trying to get the boarding passes, and you can hear us screaming. Josh was actually the one that ended up getting it for our group, and it was like group 24 or something. Yeah. But super stressful, very high energy. So this sounds, even though they've taken away one of the time slots that you can get a pass, it still seems much easier than showing up at the crack of dawn to maybe get a chance to ride the ride.
Yeah.
Now, this I'm super excited for, the Studio Ghibli theme park, something that was kind of like fake news for a long time and then it actually became a real thing, has an opening date now in Japan. This park will open in fall 2022, and based on the concept art, it looks like any Ghibli fan's dream. It's going to have a few areas themed to the various movies, including Whisper of the Heart, which I haven't seen, Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, Princess Mononoke, Kiki's Delivery Service. It looks incredible. I can't wait to see what this looks like when it's actually built. And it looks like it'll at least be partially covered, if not indoors, based on the concept art.
Yeah, I've seen that one piece of concept art, that main overlay of that main area.
Yeah.
This is news to me. I didn't know I had an opening date. I'm excited.
The park is going to be located in the Aichi Expo Commemorative Park in Nagakute City, Japan. And it'll have 5 lands and is apparently on track to open on time in 2022. So.
All right.
So we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see that grow. Development is supposed to start on the park next year. So they seems like they're planning to get it knocked out within a year and get it open.
That's impressive.
I'm excited. I want to go to Japan.
Well, we'll go then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Next up, a new art book, Star Wars art book, got announced during Comic-Con at Home, the at-home Zoom-based San Diego Comic-Con fill-in thing. It's called The Art of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and it's a large format, kind of like a coffee table style book that will feature concept art and designs that were part of the visual development for the Disney Parks land. You'll get to see never-before-seen artwork, interviews about the land's creation from artists at Imagineering, Lucasfilm, and more. And it's authored by Amy Ratcliffe, who you might know from presenting things for Star Wars Show, Star Wars Celebration. She's a contributor to IGN, StarWars.com, Star Wars Insider. She also wrote Star Wars Women of the Galaxy, which is a beloved book in the women's sector of the Star Wars fandom. And she also followed me on Twitter yesterday.
Well, there you go. You didn't tell me that.
She followed. I was like, what? Why are you following me?
Cool.
Yeah. The book will also feature a foreword written by portfolio creative executive for Imagineering, Scott Trowbridge, who was in charge of the project. So that'll be neat. It will come out in spring 2021, and pre-orders are open. So if you want to get your hands on it, you should do that.
We love art books in this house. So this isn't something that happens very often. This is very, very rare for a theme park, period.
Mm-hmm. Especially for a singular land. It just shows the scope and how huge Galaxy's Edge is to even get that kind of thing. Could you imagine an art book for like Frontierland or Adventureland? I would love that. But
I mean, as new attractions came out, I saw someone talking about this on Twitter that it would be amazing if they had art books, much like video games have. Each game that comes out, there's an art of book or films that come out. So attractions definitely are in a similar realm of video games and films as far as their development goes, especially with Rise of the Resistance, having all those original actors come back and the big sets that they build and things.
So, well, yeah. Disney, if you're listening, that's a free idea. Just send us copies of your theme park land art books when you decide to do them. Next up, Run Disney's Wine and Dine Half Marathon, the annual race that kind of coincides with Food and Wine, has been modified this year from an in-person event to a virtual race, marking the first time that that's really been offered for this specific event. So those who have registered, I believe registration has long closed, but those who were registered to attend will get to either receive a full refund or get to convert their registration to a virtual race that they can complete remotely over time. And they'll receive their distance medal, a long sleeve shirt for adults and short sleeve for kids, depending on who's registered, a digital bib and finisher certificate that I assume you'll be able to print out, a digital toolkit that includes start and finish line and markers and mile markers, which I thought was kind of cute. A digital goodie bag, a virtual playlist to run to, and a Disney gift card for select races in the future, like half marathon, 10K, 5K, that kind of thing. And the gift card values correspond to each race. So it's $100 for the two course challenge, $90 for the half, $30 for the 10K, and $10 for the 5K. Now, these gift cards, if you qualify and you were registered for this race, you'll have it processed in 6 to 8 weeks after you sign up for the virtual race. But this sounds cute, and I'm with everything going on, everything is so uncertain. This is like the theme of the podcast for today. And it's good to see them actually offer an alternative instead of just saying like, oh, it's canceled, sorry, here's your money back, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting. A virtual race.
They've done it before. Usually they're Star Wars themed, and the medals are awesome. You sign up to run the race and you log your distance in like an app or something, I guess, and then you have until a certain date to complete the race, and then they mail you your medal.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a little cheaper than doing like an actual race, but
yeah,
still neat. A new ride has opened, and I believe it unseated SeaWorld's Infinity Falls record for the tallest raft ride drop.
Oh, yeah, family raft ride, yeah.
Yeah. Mystic River Falls is now open at Silver Dollar City, and I really want to ride this ride. The theming and the story for this attraction is so interesting. You go on, like, this river adventure with this, like, adventure girl type, like an Indiana Jones type, but a girl, and you go through these caves and you try to find this mystical waterfall thing, and it seems really fun even though it's a water ride. But it looks so beautiful, and I really want to ride it. Now, this ride is it has the tallest drop on a water raft ride in the western hemisphere, and takes guests through Roaring Rapids set in an authentic Ozarks Mountain theme, leading to a more than four-story waterfall drop. Now, one of us here on the podcast does not like drops on things.
I don't know who that is. Is that you?
Not me.
I love drops.
Would you ride this?
Oh, yeah. I think I would ride this. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it has an 82-foot tall lift tower.
Oh my gosh.
With a 180-foot long river channel that's 66 feet high up in the air.
I don't know if I would enjoy it. I would enjoy the ride. I don't think I would enjoy the drop. It sounds like and looks like a very beautiful ride.
Yeah.
I would do it. Just hold my breath.
Oh, we got some Phineas and Ferb memes in the chat. Look at that lift mechanism. Behold the downtiminator. I mean, if we're going based off of how Infinity Falls' opening went, you're probably right. All right, next up, Electric Ocean is back at SeaWorld Orlando, but with a physical distancing twist. The event is now offered on Fridays and Saturdays through September 6th, where guests can stay late and dance all night while maintaining a safe physical distance from others and clap off the night with the Light Up the Sky fireworks.
That's really nice.
Yeah, I wasn't sure that this event would come back, you know, based on everything. But it's good to see that they're modifying their offerings for guests so they can still have as close to a normal park experience as possible. And I think I saw someone post on Facebook that it went really well.
Yeah, it seems like they've been doing a great job. If it's anything like, I'm assuming their 4th of July celebration was probably a little test and gave them a little more confidence in that nighttime experience area.
Mm-hmm.
That looked really nice. I watched a ton of videos of people going to that, and they had their little circles marked out and their seats spaced out, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw pictures. I believe Jonathan was there,
mm-hmm.
Elise's husband, and he posted pictures of the performers still there. So that's cool that they're still a part of it too, because those costumes are incredible.
Yeah.
All right. We got some mask updates at the parks. So, following suit with Walt Disney World's update last week, where they said you can't have masks off if you're not eating and you have to be stationary. Downtown Disney over at the Disneyland Resort has also adopted this, but with a different word thrown in there because the parks aren't open yet. So now over at Downtown Disney, guests may remove their face covering while actively eating or drinking outside, stationary, and maintaining appropriate physical distancing from others. So at this time, indoor dining is suspended statewide in California. So that's why outside is thrown in there. So keep that in mind if you're going to Downtown Disney anytime soon. We still don't know when Disneyland is going to open. That is all dependent on what the state says, which they were supposed to give out that information on what the theme parks will have to do to reopen after July 4th. And it is July 26th, and they haven't said anything yet.
Yep. I think it'll be a while.
I have to agree. Yeah. Here's a bit of disappointment on my end. Disney has announced some big theatrical delays for a bunch of upcoming movies that they made such a big fanfare to do announcing last year.
Yeah.
So it looks like Mulan has been delayed indefinitely.
Mm-hmm. After being delayed once already, right?
Twice. It was supposed to come out in March, I think. It was supposed to come out around my birthday.
Yeah.
And then got pushed to July 24th and then to August 21st. And now it's just not coming out. And because of that, in addition to that, the upcoming Star Wars films and Avatar films have all been delayed a year each.
Oh, man.
So if you want to feel old, here's the upcoming dates for the next Avatar and Star Wars films. So Avatar 2 will come out on December 16th, 2022. Avatar 3 will come out on December 20th, 2024. And Avatar 4 will come out on December 18th, 2026. Now, I know you love Avatar, so that's like huge for you.
I loved Avatar when it came. I still love Avatar, but it's been so long. It's definitely not at the forefront of any of my fandom. But yeah, I saw it 15 times in theaters when it came out in 2008. And I was in high school. Gosh, I was a freshman in high school. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Star Wars films, if you want to feel super old, because this really made me feel old, the first one will come out on December 22nd, 2023, and then the second one will come out on December 19th, 2025, and then the third one will come out December 17th, 2027. Now, the first one, they haven't said, but it is pretty much assumed across the board that it will be Taika Waititi's film. He's already said that he started writing it. He apparently finished writing Thor: Love and Thunder, so he's working on Star Wars now. And many assume that the second one, set for 2025, is going to be Kevin Feige's Star Wars film.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and then the third one, we don't know who's doing that one, but this kind of puts the story to bed, at least for now, that Rian Johnson was going to get his own trilogy. And that makes me sad.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate.
Yeah, I loved what Rian did with Star Wars, so it's a shame to see that get kind of pushed to the back burner, unless the start of his trilogy is that 2027 movie.
Sure, yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, how old am I gonna... Okay, so it's 2020 now. I'll be like 31, 32 in 20... Oh, God. I'm going to be old.
Yeah, seeing that next Avatar movie will really hit me. That one is big for me, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sequel. You know, the Star Wars movies, the whole future of the franchise is so up in the air. We have no idea. We're not waiting for the next, you know, what's going to happen. But with Avatar, yeah, I kind of am. Like, what's going to happen?
I mean, based on what I've seen with James Cameron, he seems really adamant about trying to film despite everything going on as much as he can.
Yeah, it seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm interested to see, like, if the land has any influence on the films.
So he tied in a lot of future influence and story and things into not so much the land, I'd say more Flight of Passage. Ooh. That a lot of the locations that you fly over and some of the creatures will be featured in the future movies, specifically the next one, so Avatar 2. You'll see more aquatic creatures. There's a big whale-type creature that jumps and splashes. Yeah, so that is kind of a wink-wink at, like, the next movie is going to be a lot of underwater stuff.
See, I know next to nothing about Avatar, so I'm glad you know these things.
Yeah, that, by the language, kinds of stuff.
Big nerd. All right, another mask update for you. Universal Orlando has updated its face mask policy to where guests can no longer wear certain types of masks. Now, in order for your face covering to be permitted in the parks, it has to fit the following list of criteria. So it must cover your nose and your mouth and be secured under your chin. So that eliminates any kind of bandana style masks. And it must fit snugly against the sides of your face and be secured with ear loops or secured around your head. Now, I see a lot of vloggers, like, link their mask behind their head with, like, a rubber band or, like, a mask extender thing. Those are allowed as long as it's snug. And it must be two layers, so one layer of fabric and then a second layer of fabric, or a layer of fabric and a filter, whatever, you know, works for you. And because of that, the masks that are no longer involved are face coverings with exhalation valves, face coverings that are not secured with ear loops or around the head, face coverings that include mesh material or any kind of holes, so like fashion masks, and costume masks or veils. Now, at the time when I wrote this, guests were concerned about gator-style masks no longer being allowed. And last we heard, they are fine so long as they are secured around the head and two layers. So as of right now, as far as we know, that is still correct. But Disney has changed their thoughts on that recently. Yeah, so as of today, literally a few hours ago, Disney has updated their policy to where they no longer allow face coverings with any exhalation valves, mesh material, or holes of any kind. So this also includes neck gaiters and open chin triangle bandanas. So if you're a fan of the gator style mask, I'm real sorry. But it looks like Universal is going to be the only place you'll be allowed to wear those for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have like the traditional, like, face mask style thing. I recently got some new ones with, like, a nose band in them and a filter pocket. I've never tried the gaiters, but everyone that I know that uses them thinks they're far more comfortable and they don't get as hot and, like, humid it feeling inside, I guess. But it's all for safety, I suppose, you know?
Yeah.
You have to keep those droplets from escaping.
Right, yeah. That's secure all the way around the mouth, the chin, and everything. I can see why they would restrict the gaiters. I get it.
Yeah. All right. Here is a Halloween hit for you to close out news in the queue. Disneyland has canceled Oogie Boogie Bash for this year.
Womp womp.
If you don't know what that is, it was the new Halloween event. It was launched last year to kind of get guests away from Disneyland Park after opening Galaxy's Edge, because normally Mickey's Halloween party is held over in Disneyland Park. But with Galaxy's Edge having just opened, they expected huge crowds, lots of lines, so they moved the party across the street. This party was hosted by Oogie Boogie himself, and it ran from mid-September through October and offered on select nights, but it is now canceled due to concerns over COVID-19 and due to the fact that the park hasn't even said when they're going to reopen yet. Over in Orlando, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party got canceled quite a while ago. Sad. I wonder if they'll still decorate for Halloween if the park is even open.
I bet they will. Disneyland does such a great job decorating for Halloween.
Yeah, they do.
So I went one year for Halloween and didn't go. Well, there wasn't a Mickey's Halloween party while we were going to Disneyland, so we couldn't have gone. But I didn't feel like I missed out on the Halloween experience going to Disneyland because it was so decorated.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It felt like it was not so scary, like all day.
When I went to Disneyland for the first time, it was with you in 2017, and we went like at the tail end of Halloween and the start of Christmas.
Yep.
So we still got to do Haunted Mansion Holiday and that kind of thing. But
it was the first week, or the first weekend of the Christmas stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I hope they do decorate. You have to find the good in these kinds of situations. And I know that people are disappointed that events keep getting canceled yet left and right, but I think even something as small as still decorating for the holidays, even if they're not doing parties or whatever, I think that's important.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for news in the queue. And this week's main attraction is pretty big. To say that I was surprised is an understatement. Halloween Horror Nights got canceled.
Yes.
For the first time in 30 years, this isn't happening. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Josh and I both, we've been paying attention to this because we weren't sure if it was going to happen or not. So we've been like looking at people posting in the parks and asking friends and just trying to keep up with it. And for all intents and purposes, we were under the impression that it was happening. And 2 days ago, it got canceled, both for Universal Orlando and Universal Studios Hollywood. And that was, we had heard that the tribute store was going to open on Friday. And instead, they hit us with a cancellation press release.
Right. While people were waiting.
While people were waiting to go in the store.
Yeah, people showed up. They lined up supposedly outside. I don't think I saw any photos, but I mean, I saw people's photos. So people were there waiting.
Yeah.
Someone said there was a line of people waiting there because they were told directly from team members, hey, it'll open on Friday. So they were all there. And while they were there, I think they all got the notification on their phones from the Horror Nights Twitter.
That's crazy. And I'm not saying that it's like a bad thing that it got canceled. I completely understand why they have chosen to do this.
Yeah.
But it still hurts. You know, this is such a huge event for the Orlando community, not only like revenue wise and to keep the tourism going, but so many people that we know and that we're friends with love this event and have been a part of this event for so long. It hurts to see it not go on and kind of really drives home the reality of what we're going through in the world right now.
Yeah. It's, I'm sure a lot of people are sad. You know, their vacations are canceled effectively now. I'm sure a lot of people plan trips in October around Halloween Horror Nights, and that, you know, if you live out of state or even just too far to make a day trip to Orlando, maybe that's the one time a year you go, you love Horror Nights, you wrap in a Universal trip. And I've seen a lot of that on Twitter, people canceling their hotel stays and things. But for locals, You know, it's a whole nother story. It's so many people get temporary jobs there as characters and stage managers, makeup artists, so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't work there, it's just, there's nothing like going to Halloween Horror Nights every weekend, or at this point, almost every day of the week. You know, it's just, it's something else. It was one of the most amazing things when I finally moved to Orlando to get that frequent Fear Plus and just go hang out with people. I've seen so much of people talking about the camaraderie of the event, seeing your friends, you know, working the event and hanging out with them at the event.
Mm-hmm.
It really was like this huge party of everyone that you knew in Orlando. If you were a local, you know, they were all there. So that'll be sad. I think that's something that a lot of people wanted and needed.
Yeah.
To see their friends again and hang out, you know, grab a beer and a Twisted Tater at Halloween Horror Nights. But yeah. It's a great time. You know, it's something to look forward to on a Friday night. That whole month, you're like, well, you know what? There is always another night of Halloween Horror Nights coming up. So it's always something to look forward to.
Yeah. You mentioned the camaraderie, and it really strikes me as something similar to like a con environment.
Absolutely, like, yeah.
You really look forward to going to this event that celebrates this thing that you love, and mm-hmm. all of your friends are also into it, and they also go, and yep. it's just a great way to reconnect and celebrate this thing that you love so much. And it really feels somewhat similar to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Figment 1988 said, don't forget pizza fries.
Pizza fries. We went and had pizza fries last time, whenever that was, 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
But they Great. Have like s'mores fries, s'mores pizza fries. I love s'mores. Too. Yeah, I love s'mores flavored things. I would try mm-hmm. it, but I'm pretty sure people have said that they're gross.
Yeah, I don't know. It still makes me sad that they put the tin in a big paper thing, and so it looks like it's deeper. You know, but it's not. I'm still sad about that.
Air your grievances about pizza fries.
Give them more pizza fries. Got to get two orders of pizza fries to make it a fair order of pizza fries.
You're not wrong. Could you imagine the like weird slushy drinks that they would have put out for this year?
Yeah. Always something. I mean, what will happen to those? They'll keep them and freeze them next year, I guess.
And that's kind of the thing that you and I have been talking about a lot is this was a big year for Horror Nights. This was the 30th anniversary of the event at Universal Orlando. And to our knowledge, the houses have been built. The cast of each house was cast. We had friends who were placed in like stage manager, assistant stage manager roles.
Yep.
So it was going on, or they were at least planning to have it go on until they couldn't anymore.
Right.
So what's going to happen to all of those props and the sets and costumes and the actual houses themselves? What are they going to do for a year? Are they going to hold on to whatever IPs that they've signed contracts for? Are they going to leave the houses up like other parks do? Or are they just going to knock down all this construction work that they've been working on? What do you think?
I don't know. It's really tricky with Universal specifically now. Hollow Scream, and I keep looking over because of our dog Brody being crazy. Hollow Scream and Knott's Scary Farm, and I'm sure other haunts. Don't know what they do at Fright Nights or whatever other kind of theme park haunts they have. But most of these places, they do the same houses every year, and they just keep them up. But the spaces that they put them in, at Knott's, for example, I don't remember what the space was, but for the Dark Ride house, whatever that, or it's not used for anymore. It's nothing. So they just shut the doors on that. They lock it, and then they reopen it once before the event, fix things up. Universal is different and unique because they still have live productions that film there. So the soundstage houses, I don't know if they'll film around them. Normally they'll partition off a section of the soundstage since they're so big. And they do this with Grinchmas. And Grinchmas proved that they could do both. So they had the Grinchmas bleachers and the stage, a curtain partition right on the other side of that was TNA wrestling, a total nonstop action filming, still going on because they had a contract with them. They split the stage, and it was done long before, Grinchmas. They didn't overlap or anything. So I wonder if they'll just put a curtain up and still film. But I think that generates a lot of revenue for Universal for people to rent those spaces. So I don't know.
I don't know either. And I hate to see all that work go to nothing. You know, like they're not going to open any of these houses up to daily ops like they did with the Stranger Things house toward the tail end of the event last year. Yeah. That's just not going to happen. And the age-old question that we've had on the podcast for a long time is how are they going to even operate the event in the era of face masks and social distancing? And I guess now we're never going to find out. Unless we're still in the same spot a year from now.
Someone pointed out many of the houses and tents will have to come down for a holiday and a Mardi Gras, which, yeah, that's true. So they put stuff in the parade building. They move the Mardi Gras floats out of the building and they like store them under this awning temporarily. So yeah, that's another thing. I don't know. They could break the houses up in sections and kind of store the walls and the props and things.
But you noticed this the other day, that the tribute store is going to open.
Yeah, they responded to somebody on Twitter just outright, which I found very interesting. They didn't make an announcement tweet. They just responded to somebody and confirmed that it will open still, which, I mean, I guess we could assume. I don't know if they necessarily need to make an announcement tweet, but yeah. They'll be opening now. The question is what the merch, will it have the houses on it? That's kind of awkward.
Yeah, man, that feels like twisting the knife a little bit. Like, oh, hey, the event got canceled, but you can get a shirt from what could have been. You know, here's all the cool things that we were going to do. Now we're not.
My head quickly starts to hurt when I think about canceling Horror Nights at all. Everything, whether it's what's going to happen to the houses from now until next year, the merch, you know, are they going to sell this merch that says 30th anniversary on it with the house? Are they going to print new merch next year that says 31, but still has the same houses on it?
And that's something I've seen debated on Twitter too. Like, since it's been canceled for this year, will next year be HHN 30 since this year didn't happen? Or is it going to be HHN 31?
So, yeah, well, then will they sell the same merch?
And then Hollywood is a whole different story because they use the same, like, merchandise designs and they just slap different park logos on them.
Yeah, they share a lot of the same IP. I'm sure Brody's got a lot to say about this. He's just, it's going to be his first Halloween Horror Nights, and it's a lot for him to handle.
Yeah.
HHN 30.5. I'd love to see merch with that on it.
They would make it 1.5 times as scary.
Like Lion King 1.5.
That's a good movie.
It is a great movie.
Timon and Pumbaa.
Rumor is the tribute store merch will be just nostalgia stuff, not the 30th year stuff. So you think they'll just hold on to the 30th stuff, the 30th branded stuff?
Yeah, that would be so similar to what launched in the web store the other day, which we couldn't access at all.
but it has a 30th thing. Well, so I guess maybe not 30th of, I don't know. It still has a 30th thing on the sleeve. But I guess if it doesn't have the houses and it's just anniversary merch, then, you know, that's fine. Yeah, there's still reprints of old designs celebrating the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, I definitely think whatever is on the inside of that store is going to give away more than anything. Even if they don't have any of the event-specific merch, the store is going to tell us what we almost had. If last year's or 2 years ago, that store was any comparison.
Yeah, they haven't even made a full announcement.
Mm-mm.
Have they announced anything?
No. that's how Universal do that's how it'd be. Universal doesn't say anything until it's open. It could open next week. It could open next month.
Yeah, they push those Hornets announcements later and later and later every year.
I was looking at our archives the other day, and I think maybe 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago last year, we had everything. We knew everything that was going to happen for last year's event.
It's been July, August these days.
Yeah.
August, crazy, like a month before the event.
You need to plan. You need to, like,
well, they'll
prioritize.
Spread it out. You know, through the whole year, they'll spread it out. They'll announce Stranger Things, you know, in February, like they did that 1 year, whenever that was, March.
That was crazy.
January, I don't know. It was crazy, yeah. I heard that they were going to announce it. I didn't believe it.
It's so early. I mean, that's like how this year Disney sold Mickey's Not So Scary tickets in February. Then canceled it a month later, 2 months later.
Was it last year? It started like a week after Not So Scary.
Yeah, like the Beetlejuice facade was not a big enough clue. It definitely looks very Beetlejuicy. That they haven't said a darn thing. And
Also, there's a hot rumor that there's a Bride of Frankenstein house. And then so people on Twitter, you know, they put the facade up and then they added like more props the next day. And someone was like, oh, this looks pretty Frankenstein-y.
That would be cool. And that would kind of coincide. They've been doing Bride of Frankenstein stuff. They did like a VR car thing in Hollywood last year, and it was Bride of Frankenstein themed. It was like a full VR experience. You put the goggles on, you got in the car, and they drive you on a specific path that follows what the goggles do.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it was also Bride of Frankenstein themed, so I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of synergize that to this event, or they were going to. But we shall see. I hope it opens soon, just because I want to see what's inside.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
John Self says, it's the facade from the old Beetlejuice stage show.
It does look a lot like it.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. From Graveyard Mashup.
Everybody's somewhere. Is it round, really?
We'll have to dig back in the archives and take a look.
I've got it's ingrained in my brain, that stage.
Yeah, you went a lot before it closed, didn't you?
Well, I went every weekend and saw that show multiple times. And on the last show ever, I was there. The team member only show.
Oh.
And I got to get on the stage after the show is over. Walk up on stage.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And now it's Fast and Furious.
We're not going to go there.
We're not going to go there. Well, I think that's a great note to end on. So right now, before we go, I would love to thank our club and VIP subscribers. We only have one new one this week. So John Malmstrom, thank you so much for being a VIP subscriber. We really appreciate it. You help keep this thing going. And if you would like to become a basic club or VIP subscriber, you can do so by going to attractionsmagazine.com/store. Get lots of cool bonus goodies, including subscriber exclusive episodes of this thing right here. All right. Now, before we go, Josh, if you would, tell everyone where they can find you on the interwebs.
Well, I'm on Instagram at Josh Bailey Design and upload only graphic design stuff on there, sometimes theme park related. And I'm on Twitter. I don't know what's my Twitter, Brittany?
It's X Josh Bailey X. I have it written down.
I see that now. That's it. I'm on Twitter, and I also tweet about theme parks.
Yeah, especially your ephemera tweets do really well.
I collect old theme park garbage, basically, stuff that people throw away. So if you want to see some of that, check out my Twitter.
And if you want to follow me, you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's both funny on Twitter and Instagram. You've heard me say that so many times. And occasionally at twitch.tv/BrittPlays, but also at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine. Now, until next week, hope you guys stay safe, have fun, and wear your mask and wash your hands. Bye-bye, everybody.